DJW Mobile.
W4DJW, K4BAM.
Flex. It's a beautiful day outside. Looks like it's really cold out there. I don't know. I see frost on rooftops. But the car was in the garage, so I got in it before the garage door opened. I don't know how cold it is yet.
The weather's 30 here, but yeah, it does look cold. I looked out and looked at all the frost on the grass.
31 in Simpson, WRAR.
W1RAR. So, Alex, we're having a training session for net controllers and a repeater committee training session for the repeater over at the Red Cross this morning. If you don't have anything else to do, you might as well just wander over that way.
Recognize K4BAM. Well, I'd love to, but I just got over the stomach flu early last week, and now I'm hopefully on the tail end of a sinus infection, so I'm trying to not overdo it. I appreciate it.
When you're miserable, you just want to stay home and get well. I understand that completely. Go ahead, RAR.
Yeah, dude, I'd like to make that class, but unfortunately, I got 40 tons of dirt being delivered today in my backyard to level it out.
Was that because of all that flooding we had?
Sure, we had an overgrowth in the backyard, about half of it we couldn't use. So we finally got that cleared away, and then we did put some grass seed down. But my next door neighbor's rear yard is going to be so nice this year, because all my grass seed went that way. So yeah, we have to level it out.
I've been working on that for about 3 years. I know exactly how that goes. Hey, if that radio has the ability to turn down the drive gain on the mic, it needs to go down about 4 or 5 notches because you're really, really driving that mic hard. Makes it difficult to understand.
It happened, but we're holding it about a foot away. Is that any better?
Difference, but still, you got to strain to pull the words out to hear what you're saying. At least I do, anyway. I don't know. Alex, are you able to copy that very good?
It's a little bit better, but yeah, the first time, I don't have a spectrum monitor in front of me, but I definitely would probably expect some clipping.
It's very bad now, but we got it down on the lap, and when we get a chance, we'll get into the settings and turn it down.
A lot of that. Alex, did you?
Sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher.
All right. Well, we're supposed to stand by so we can get to the adjustment. So, gentlemen, we'll say 73s and talk to everyone later.
Into the config on that thing. I don't think holding the mic away from you is going to help. I think the gain is just set way too high. Anyway, if there's a config option to set it down, that would probably resolve it. It reminds me of when I was learning how to fly airplanes, and the air traffic controller sounded just like that. And I looked at my instructor, and I asked him if he had marbles in his mouth. He laughed at me and said, no, you're going to have to get used to understanding them when they sound like that. Go ahead, Alex, W4DJW.
It sounds like it's a mic gain issue. Plus, you've got some background noise that's coming in, too. And so the gain is, it's kind of like the background noise is getting gained in with your audio. And it just makes it all sound kind of distorted. So, yeah, just an adjustment or something. Or you may, with an older radio, you may actually have a mic issue. Sometimes the elements go out. I'm not sure how old it is. K4BAM. I think mine was, I was set on narrowband. It was a really low audio no matter what I did. And I changed it to 25 kilohertz, and that took care of it.
So, it'll be a good day today.
Part of that. Sorry, Dave. K4BAM.
Sunshine coming through the car is warming it up in the car faster than the heater is. It'll be a good day once it warms up.
All right, so I hope... I get to feeling better here, I'm going to start some laundry and other things. And, I don't know. I'm about sick of being home. I missed a little more than a week of work, week before last. And last week I went to work every day, but it was a struggle. And then Thursday at work, call started from the postnasal drip for the sinus infection. And then yesterday I was completely wiped out. So I've been taking Sudafed and staying hydrated and using the neti pot, which if you've ever used one of those, they're quite wonderful.
You've been to the doctor and he's prescribed something. I remember the reason I asked, I remember one time I had a sinus infection. And I stayed with it for about 6 weeks before I broke down and went to the doctor, and in 2 weeks he had it fixed.
Yeah, I get them about twice a year, and a buddy of mine is a doctor. I usually contact him, but what I've learned with it, if you get ahead of it, it's early in the viral stage, which is how most of them start with a virus. If you can flush it out and keep hydrated and get it cleaned out, it won't turn into the bacterial stage, which is where your head basically gets full of glue and nothing's moving and you still have the fever. So after about 5 to 6 days, you're pretty sure it's bacterial, which I'm only 2 days in, so I hadn't thought out an antibiotic because it's called this viral.
When I knew about it, I just know I was miserable for about 8 weeks, and it appeared that I would, if I had gone to him in the beginning, it wouldn't have been but a couple of weeks at the most, which is what it sounds like you're saying.
W1RAR back in the group.
Oh, that's a lot better. Yeah, your audio sounds great. RAR K4BAM.
I understand why. It was up at 90, and we brought it down to 40. We're talking about 3 inches away from the microphone right now. So, sounding all right, or can I go down more?
Being in the seat next to me, it is perfect right there.
Appreciate that, gentlemen. So, we'll let you carry back on. We thanks for the info, W1RAR Mobile.
Talking about our ailments. Yes, I would say after about 5 days, if it doesn't go away, I'll seek an antibiotic. But everything I read, everything I've ever been told, in fact, I used to go to urgent care when I would get them early on, and they wouldn't give me anything because they said it's probably viral at this stage. They didn't want to create a superbug if it was slightly bacterial yet. But yeah, 10 days is about the most I've ever suffered with one. Because within 2 days of starting the antibiotic, which is a 7-day course, I think, 7 to 10 days, it takes care of it.
And did you get a sinus headache with that? What's the definitive symptom that lets you know it's time to go get started?
I don't know, because I try to get ahead of it. Now, for me, it used to be nothing's moving. My head is completely clogged. I can barely hear, and I've got a sustained fever for, like, days, which is just awful. If you think you're getting one now, the best thing to do, in my opinion, I take this stuff called black seed oil. I think it's cumin or something, seed oil. Vitamin C, zinc lozenges, whatever you can get to get your immune system boosted up. I'm gonna let it drop. Check, real Sudafed, stuff you gotta ask for like you're gonna make meth. I get the twice a day Sudafed. And I don't know if you use Flonase nasal spray, use that, and a neti pot to drain, irrigate your sinuses. And once you get that done, you put the Flonase in there. So I try to get ahead of it, and about 50% of the time I can prevent the need for the antibiotic.
So you don't go to the doctor right off the bat. You've got a cure pre-going to the doctor and getting the antibiotic. But, well, that's only really happened to me one time that I suffered through it like that. And I haven't had to go back to the doctor. I haven't had it again since then. I just remember it was miserable for, I was miserable for about 10 weeks. That's a long time to be miserable.
Yeah, you, I agree. It's awful. I get them two or three times a year. The telltale's the post-nasal drip for me, which I have horrendous allergies. I've had them my entire life. Actually, last night I took a Benadryl and Sudafed. It makes you drowsy, but the antihistamine really knocks out a bunch of... the girlfriend's got something, too, and she hasn't been around me much lately because I've been so sick. So I think there might be something in the air that irritated my sinuses to start it. But, yeah, I probably have a deviated septum or whatever they call it, but I don't really want to go under the knife and let them break my nose because I think that's not a 100% success rate anyhow. But...
I'm in front of monitors all the time, so I get headaches a lot anyway. But sometimes it feels like a sinus headache, and I think that's how that started that one time that I had that. So I'm always like, whoa. I'm like looking around, okay, what is this? I'll be aware just in case it happens again to attack it earlier rather than later. But thankfully, it hasn't happened before. So if it's got 100% success rate, what's the heal time after the fix? How long does it take to heal?
Have to look, and I doubt. Yeah, I only know one or two people that have had it done, and they didn't really have a lot of. They had a little bit of success, but I don't know. I'd rather just take allergy meds when I need it and deal with it. You said you're in front of the monitor. Do you use the application Flux to control the blue light levels on your display?
Haven't tried that. I've heard people talk about that, but I've never investigated it.
Somebody who is a fairly recent med school grad, and because he's a recent one, all of his curriculum was online. Not obviously he went to classes, but all the material was online on his laptop, whatever. He was spending 8 to 10 hours a day looking at a computer and getting headaches and stuff, and started using Flux, and it took care of a lot of that.
Well, I'm not understanding what you're calling what he was using. Is that like glasses or something?
That's Flux, and it's an application you install on, I think it'll install on anything, I know it'll install on a PC, and it adjusts the display's color temperature according to the location and time of day. I'm actually reading it off the website. And what that does is it helps reduce eye strain, especially during nighttime time use, and reduce the disruption of sleep patterns. And it's basically filtering or controlling the amount of blue light on your display. I use it at work and at home. And I can look at a monitor for longer periods of time, and I rarely get a headache. I usually get a headache because I'm stressed out about what I'm reading about.
It's like in Soldering Flux, FLUX, an application name there?
F.Lux. But if you just Google, Fox Trot Lima Uniform X-Ray, you'll find the app.
Interesting. I don't know if it would run on my work computer or not. My work computer is extremely heavily monitored. You can't even plug a USB into it or anything. You can't even hit a IP and a port on your local LAN network with it. That's how tightly locked down it is. But I could recommend it, and they'd have to go through a security review. But if that's, I'll try that on my home computers for the weekend when I'm working on my home computers and see if that helps. But it is painful after a while when you're staring at lines of code and multiple editors, and it starts hurting after a while. W4DJW, I'm in Taylor, so I'm in Paris Mountain shadow, so if I'm getting scratchy, let me know, and I'll quit till I come out the other side.
W2T Mobile.
Not much. Other station recognized W2T K4BAN. Yeah, actually, I was just looking, Dave, on their website, which is justgetflux.com. There's actually an an option to install the smart lights like the Philips Hue kit, and I guess that adjusts the color of the light. You can adjust the ambient light in your room with the app too. So if you have an office area and they have a controller that comes with it, it uses the same application to adjust the light around you as well as the blue lights, what disrupts your sleep, I think, on your display. W2T, go ahead, K4BAF.
And hello, Dave. But just getting out here on the road for a quick trip over to my church this morning. Thought I'd see if this thing is working. It having some problems with it yesterday, but it seems to be working all right. And you're not real scratchy, Dave. You're pretty readable. Go ahead.
Whatever that problem was you had yesterday, you've got it solved. It's very clear. And I'm about to go in front of Bob Jones, who I've already gone through. I think where the old Kmart was, across from McDonald's on White Hampton, is where it's the worst. I think it starts getting better after you pass Bob Jones, but I'm not 100% sure. But Rusty, you got that. Whatever that problem was, it's 100% knocked out because you're full quieting, full scale. W4DJW. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm great. K4BAN. I don't know. I'm just sitting here now. I'm off on a tangent reading about these lights. That would be interesting. For the starter kits, wow, $170 for 4 bulbs and the controller. Seems a little expensive. I guess it's an Amazon Alexa controller, some sort of home assistant. I don't know.
Alexa, because there's one of those, there's an Echo in that room. $170 to get rid of headaches. not too bad. That's doable.
Having a problem with lighting in their house or something. And I've got to figure out, do something to relight my radio room because I redid the desk and don't have the light above the radios like I used to, so I got to figure out something else there. Anyway, I'm on my way over to my church this morning. I got to help set up for the handbells that are playing this weekend since I'm part of that group, and we set up on Saturday to play on Sunday morning. Go ahead, Alex.
We went to a Christmas Eve service when we were in Bowling Rock the week of Christmas, and the church there had a really nice handbell routine they did during the ceremony or whatever, the service. That was really nice. We set up front too, which is so we got the full surround sound.
Well, our little church has had a handbell choir for 22 years now. And this is the first year they've gotten me into it. My wife used to play in it years ago when she was healthy before she passed away. So it was, and I learned to play them. I just hadn't been called on, and they called on me this year. And, of course, this may be a one-time thing, so one-year thing. We'll have to see what happens. Because my barbershop course, which rehearses on Tuesday, is planning to go back to Monday, and handbells practice on Monday. Well, I'm here at the shop at the church, so I'm going to go ahead and step away. Y'all have a good morning. We'll talk to you later. W2T, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to ask you, but now that you're leaving, how that works. Each person has a different set of notes, and everybody knows when it's their turn to play their note. Anyway, you don't have to answer that if you're getting out, but maybe I get the answer from you next time. Anyway, have a good day, Rusty. Good talking to you. W4DJW.
Well, since I'm still sitting right here in the car a second, I will go ahead and answer your question. We're each assigned a set of bells, and of course we all read music, so we play according to the music, and the director up front directs it. So, we've got myself and 7 women who are the ringers, and then the lady that directs us. So that's our setup on this. All right, well, let me run on inside. Somebody got here ahead of me, so I think that's her, and I need to go on and get inside. We'll talk to all of you later. W4DJW, W2T.
All right, catch you later. I still have more questions next time I hear you on the radio, so I'll remember. W4DJW. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, 4BAN. I'm off reading about these Philips Hue light bulbs. Interesting. I don't know, that might be all right. I could probably put one really in my house. I would need more than about 4 because I have one lamp I leave on all the time in my living room. two in my office and one in my bedroom. So those are where I'm getting exposed to most of the light. I don't know. It's interesting to understand the science behind all of it, I guess.
It says there's a program that runs on the computer. There's an Alexa plug-in, and there's a light bulbs that have, like, maybe Wi-Fi connectivity or something, the light bulbs themselves. And the program adjusts both the screen on the monitor and the light in the room at the same time to minimize the possibility of strain on your eyeballs.
Bulbs can actually be adjusted separately because I wouldn't want to leave my computer on all the time. I don't routinely do that. If I leave it on, in fact, if I leave it on more than a few hours, it goes to sleep, my computer in my office. But it sounds like you can use just an external controller, which sounds like it is Alexa or Google Home or whatever one you select. And you can select, I guess you can make it align with what Flux is doing, but it sounds like you can also coordinate it with Flux, but I guess you'd have to leave your computer on. I'm not really sure.
We do our computers exactly backwards, opposite from each other. When I buy mine, it gets plugged in, and it doesn't get turned off until its replacement gets purchased 4 or 5 years later. It stays on 24. That's to minimize temperature change, stress on it. And it works pretty good that way, but I guess it works good the way that you're doing it, too. I did, when I first started with computers, I turned it on and off all the time. But then I got to learning about expansion and contraction due to heat and problems. So you never have problems with components going out because of stretching and compressing?
I use computers a long time. This is, I think, an i7, finally. But you'll laugh, but about 2 or 3 years ago, I was still using a couple of Core 2 Duos.
It does what you needed to do. I had a XP that was running EchoLink for many, many years and didn't get updates or anything, but it was running it for many, many years. And it suited the purpose until one day its fan on its graphics card burned up, and that led to other issues, and then poof, it was gone. But eventually they're all going to go. But that's pretty cool that you can keep one going that long.
I usually buy them used off eBay. And of course, the best thing I do is drop in a nice SSD. And everything has Windows 10 on it now. I don't have 7 running on anything. I do have an old XP laptop with some old software that will not run in 7 or 10. I don't know. I've never really noticed any issues. I guess hard drives are the only thing, of course, when you have the old rotating disks that you get... some failure there, but I've pretty much converted everything to SSD. I only have, I think I have 2 more I need to convert.
SSD now, MSATA is what I'm going with, the little tiny ones, little tiny hard drive, smaller than a box of matches, and 128 gigabytes. Those seem to be working really, really good, and they cost less than $30.
Amazing what you can get nowadays as far as hard drives. I had a stack of hard drives forever. I finally went through and wrote all zeros to the drive and got rid of them. That was, some really old IDE stuff.
I've left laying around. I need to do the same thing with just offload the data that's on them and it's awesome. They're just too old to be dependable anymore, and they suck up too much power, and there's a lot cheaper, more dependable alternatives out there. It's getting wonderful. Things that were difficult in the past, you paid megabucks for, you can get for next to nothing now.
It seems like all the hobbies have gotten less expensive. I don't know. I find I just buy more of it, but I have 2-3 PCs at my house and a laptop, which I keep one connected to the big TV, and I have 2 in my office. I only use one at a time. Then I have a Raspberry.
raspberry pie, of course. That's the one thing I do leave on all the time is my raspberry pie on the All-Star node that sits across from me here.
All the time, too. One of them that, with the 3B pluses, since the 4 came out, they're like file servers now. They've got all the learning information on them, and if you ever need to grab something, just go to it. But I run Unix on the PC, too, so you can SSH back and forth and got the keys set up so there's no, like, having to log in or anything like that. You just one command and you're on another system. Anyway, I'm here at the Red Cross. I'm going to see if Johnny's here, and if he's not, I'm going to go get me a breakfast biscuit. I think I made it here on time. We agreed at 9:30, and it's 9:22. I think I've got 8 minutes to go get a biscuit.
Bojangles right around the corner.
Team here. So I'm going to go back up the road and get a biscuit and orange juice.
This morning, I live about 3 blocks or 4 blocks from Bojangles, but I decided to have oatmeal instead. Make coffee at home. I usually make my own coffee. I'm kind of a big French press user.
WD-40YH.
Coffee making at my house, too. I don't know, somebody else pop in there? I use that Colombian coffee. But somebody else in there? Go ahead, W4DJW.
That was me, Dave. I was on low power. Yeah, you got a minute to get a biscuit. Good morning, everybody.
Let me get you one.
Take one. Good morning again, everybody.
You okay with that?
Yes, sir.
You like sausage, egg, and cheese?
I eat anything you don't eat me first.
All right, I'll just double my order and be over there in a minute. W4DJW.
Thank you, sir, very much. What else is going on, you guys?
Wasn't better. Sounds like you still got a little bit of it, but you're about over it.
A squeak left whenever I laugh, but it's a whole lot better than it was. It's amazing how long it's taken for it to get to where I could just talk.
Before being
and sinusitis that lasted, that in itself lasted about 3 weeks, and then it caused me to lose my voice.
Sound good? Yeah, I'm actually. I was telling Dave, I just got over the stomach flu, and now I got a sinus infection. I hope it's cleared up now.
Get over it soon, because it ain't no fun.
I'm going through the drive-through, W4DJW.
And since David said y'all were going to do a little repeater training this morning.
Go. We're intending to go over what Dave has set up. He's going to teach us all the ins and outs of it. And give the net controllers a hands-on type experience. I think it'll be good for everybody.
Yeah, he mentioned me coming over, checking it out, but like I said, I'm still getting over a cold, so it sounds like fun. Did y'all decide, I guess, do y'all have the new repeater up there now, I guess?
That was the reason for this particular class. It's going to be going back to the mountain in the not-too-distant future. He wanted to have the class while he had it in his hand so people could experience the operation without worrying about interfering with the repeater operation. Informative.
The time at K4BAN. It's neat, some of the features you can set up nowadays.
To putting it back in place. It performed really well last time. We just didn't have it ready to leave up there.
Is it just the output of the radio, or do y'all have it up to an amplifier?
And 25 watts out of the radio itself on the Kenwood repeater with no amplifier. When we go back, there'll be an external amplifier that is temporary until we get the control system set up. Then we'll go to a permanent amplifier that we already own, and we'll put it in the rack and start using.
Which amplifier manufacturer y'all use?
Ours, what's going to be up there right now. It's a mobile amplifier for the for mobile operation with a great big heat sink on it. So we wire-tied a fan to it, a 12-volt fan, and put it into service the last time we had the test repeater up there, and it performed flawlessly.
Yeah, and if y'all are using like a TPL or another company makes amplifiers, you can also get a bunch of old surplus stuff too out there, like a G Master 2 repeater amplifier.
I had an RF landline. Could you repeat that, please?
About, I know which one y'all are using. That's good to know.
They're temporary that we'll be using next time we take the machine up. I don't remember the name of the one that's going to be permanent. It's designed for repeater use. Has SWR, high SWR protection built in, high temperature protection built in, and it's good for 120 watts. Continuous duty.
TPL or Henry or something like that?
The bail. It's been in the box for quite some time. Excuse me, wait for this.
Fires. I was using a couple applications.
Things about them. We've run amplifiers in the past before. Matter of fact, we still got one on the shelf that accidentally got worked into a high SWR situation, and it took out the finals. We replaced the finals and haven't put it back in service either. Have to check on it, see what we can do, maybe put it on 8.2.
Your protection's really nice because you never know. We had a commercial repeater at Clemson on the public safety side, and it was a channel we didn't use that often. We used it one day, and we noticed it was not as strong as it had been, and it was beeping at us, which usually indicates a fall with the repeater. So I go up there, and the antenna had fallen off the side of the building onto the lower roof. It was a fiberglass antenna, and, of course, its SWR went sky high. Broke the antenna, and the repeater had protected itself. It went back to probably 25 watts or something, maybe even 20. I don't know what it protects itself to. Was it doing it at a high SWR?
The older one I was telling you about didn't have that kind of protection. And we had an individual that thought the duplexers needed tuning up, so that's what happened to it.
The duplexer had an off SWR, I guess, off frequency?
Well, it's a long story, but in short, we had an individual that thought they needed tuning, and he managed to get them off frequency and leave it that way.
Well, that'll do it.
And we went back to check it, and the SWR on the antenna was fine. It's like, well, you know, what's the cause of this? And got to playing around with it, put the SWR meter between the transmitter and the duplexer, and it was out of sight.
That'll happen. Usually it's the antenna or feed line damage. I've seen that before.
Now, that not to occur for quite some time. We're using the LMR600 right now, and it's pretty good cable. It's expensive too, so we're hoping that it'll last maybe 25, 30 years.
It's especially the 144 meg. How long of a run is it?
Feet.
That'd be expensive to buy hard line. That's a long run of hard line.
Yes, sir, it is. It should be okay, though. Well, right now we're working on a set of brackets that go up the side of the tower that we're going to move all of our feed line to. It should help it immensely. And it's placed in such a way as to where hopefully any ice that comes off the tower will just slide down the outside of it and not actually impact it in a way that could damage it.
Actually makes a bracket for that LMR 600. If you run multiple runs up the tower, of course you can always just make your own.
We wound up whittling ours out of aluminum angle. It's a 6-inch wide piece of angle with holes in it to allow for strain relief. One thing we're looking for, you might be able to help us with this, is a lace-on stainless steel Kellum's grip type strain relief. I can't find a stainless steel one. I find steel all the time.
I don't know of one of those. Can't say that I have.
We're clear of galvanized steel because it starts rusting almost immediately. Be nice to have stainless. We've got aluminum for the bracket I was just telling you about, and we're using stainless steel hardware to bolt them to the tower. So it would be nice to find stainless.
Well, I don't have a lot of experience attaching LMR 600. I know everything like Hardline, you can buy custom clamps, and those clamps are made to. You put them every, whatever, 10 feet up the side of a tower or whatever. You just bolt it on and put it inside the receiver.
I recently opened up an account through my work for telcos. I'm going to go see what they've got.
Something pretty similar for the 600, but I want to say it. And I want to say DX Engineering may even have some of those. The thing about LMR is it has a slightly softer jacket and it's braided shield, so you got to be careful when you clamp it, otherwise you can deform it. So that's why most people just tape it or wrap it. But Hardline, you know, has a shield and a heavier jacket, so you can just snap it into those clamps.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head with the soft jacket and configuration. This particular feed line that we got it from the wireman, and it's got a foil with a braid over the top of it, shield, and it is pretty easy to crush.
I've had fairly short runs, fortunately, of most of my cable, and I have some scrap pieces, you know, probably no more than 100 feet each of half-inch hard line. But yeah, you start looking at big runs like that, it'd be hard to. Someone may have a scrap piece of it somewhere. It took off a tower that's still in good condition, but I don't know of one right off the bat.
Inbound until they're done with it and it's used up. That's been my experience anyway. You get short pieces. Finding a couple of pieces 500 foot long would be nearly impossible. We're going to have two 500 foot runs. One's going to the 450 mark, which is where the antenna is now. We're going to add a second antenna at the 350 mark and run them together, phased. So we'll have to have a second run, and it's got to be the same length as the first run.
I guess, what do y'all have up there now? The 600 or?
One of LMR 600 there now, and two more runs available, both of them 500 feet. We figure what we're going to do is we're going to replace the run that's there and use that coax for some stuff that we want to do at the 100 and 200 foot mark, and then take the two brand new runs and go all the way up the tower to the end. Of course, one of them will reach the antenna that's there, and then we'll loop the other one back down to go to the 350 mark so that both feed lines are identical in length, and then phase them so that we get the signal pattern that we want.
KHTZ.
Hey, go ahead.
This is Drake up in Old Bridge, New Jersey. KD2HTZ. Kilo Delta 2, Hotel Tango Zulu. I was listening in on the conversation about your LMR 600. When you get a chance, would you put me into that Q-cell? I'd like to have a comment or two. KG2HTZ, I'm standing by.
Sure, yeah, go ahead. K4PA.
Okay, yeah, I'm connecting from Echolink. I had this the Greensboro, South Carolina repeater in my favorites. I forget the operator's name who I used to talk to down here, but he's not around anymore. I don't know where he went. Anyhow, these LMR 600 cables you're running up to tower, are those having duplex signals in them, or is one a transmit and one a receive? Over.
It's the output of a duplex or a transceiver side.
Sort of don't understand my answer yet. These LMR 600 cables, are they going to be carrying, is each one going to be carrying a transmit and receive signal at the same time, like a duplex signal, transmit and receive at the same time, or is one cable going to be a transmit and one cable going to be a receive? I don't know if I'm asking the question the right way.
Correct question. The transceiver, your first answer, the cables are connected to the output of a duplexer.
Okay, and then you go on to two separate antennas. Now, that's what I understand. You have an array, but now is one of them going to be a transmit, and the other is going to be a receive, or are they just going to be going to an array where it, the cable is going to simultaneously carry transmit and receive?
To an array.
All right, so if they're, if the output of the duplexer, you're going to have a your repeater has a transmitter and a receiver, and they're going into the duplexer, and the duplexer has one cable coming out. And so you have a duplex signal going into an LMR cable. I just wanted to point out that you guys probably all know this, and you probably, I'm just probably preaching to the choir here, but I just wanted to make the comment about using LMR cable for a duplex signal, because LMR cable has copper and aluminum shielding right against each other, and that kind of cable is bad for duplex signals because of the copper and the aluminum right against each other. You all know that issue about that? Go ahead. This is KG2HTZ for ID.
I repeat that again. I just pulled into an area that I don't have a good signal in. If you would, please.
The person you were talking to is maneuvering his truck in a parking lot right now, so he's kind of got his hands full, so he's not able to answer you. But I work with him on the repeater, and I wasn't aware of that, but that's something we appreciate you bringing to our attention. We might have to do some digging there. W4DJW.
So I've been involved with a couple of repeater projects up here in New Jersey, and they were going to use LMR, I think, 800, which is, it's a thicker than LMR 600. And what they wound up using was Heliax cable. hard line. I realize the LMR is cheaper than it's cheaper in price than Heliax, but the Heliax is all copper. It doesn't have the shieldings that are dissimilar metals, and the LMR. If you're using it on your base station at home, you know, you're transmitting or receiving. You know, you're not transmitting and receiving at the same, you know, on the same cable at the same time. That's fine. But it causes the LMR because of the dissimilar metals in the... look it up. Go on there to the internet. And you'll look it up on Google, and put in LMR, dissimilar metals, duplex signal, or you know you'll bring up some kind of search to search that out, and you know just don't take my word. I just didn't want to see you run into an issue going down the line a couple of years, especially when these dissimilar metals build up some corrosion in the, you know, especially at the connector ends. So what we had to do up here was instead of buying LMR 800, they got a whole big spool of leftover. Size 7/8 diameter hard line, and he ran one of them up the tower, and that was it worked beautiful. KD2HTZ, name is Drake, and I'm up here in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Wish I was down here with you guys. New Jersey is a good place to move out of.
Is always a good thing, but we're all sitting here in a parking lot right now getting ready to go out and go inside the building and do a training session, so we're going to have to drop off the air. Alex is over in Clemson. He might be able to continue on with you. I'm not sure, but we're going to have to drop off and go in. We're all sitting in a parking lot getting ready to go in to do a training session. Good talking to you, and always information like that is appreciated, Drake. You have a good one. Stay warm up there in New Jersey. W4DJ, WClear.
Riff DJ, thank you very much for letting me in on your QSO. Have a good session, and maybe I'll drop in on your repeater again and invite you on up to a couple of R's if you want to do some EchoLink. We'll be glad to have you up here. This is KD2HTZ. I'll stand by for a little while. Go enjoy your session there.
Other station, 7-3, I gotta take some medicine. K4BA.